As we were singing that song, Susan shared her story with the children. I can remember thinking the words, "I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory." I can remember being in that state and hearing about Jesus from others, and finally God beginning to convict me deeply about things that were quite wrong in my life. They were holding me captive. They were, just like that song says, chains. But coming to confess my sins before God, as Susan did, and knowing the breaking of the chains and the freedom given by Jesus Christ to live out a completely new life, like being raised from the dead. Well, today we're looking at Simon Peter. We have been looking at Simon Peter for some time. Perhaps, Namiko, you could remind us from the pictures. You remember on Good Friday, Simon, who had walked with Jesus, yes, Jesus is alive from the dead. But you know what? Simon didn't know it. Remember, he met Jesus there by the Sea of Galilee. He'd been fishing all night. A seasoned fisherman, he caught nothing. How do you feel when you've tried so hard at doing something and you've got no results? Nothing is working out. I'm sure you've had experiences like this. How do you feel when that happens? Just feel defeated. A sense of hopelessness. Sense you're not good enough, you know? Have you ever heard those words? You're just not good enough. And then he heard Jesus speaking. For the first time, he heard this man talking. And at the end of this talk, Jesus turned to him and said, "Simon, put your boat out and let your nets down for a catch." And this man said to him, "But Lord, we fished all night. There are only fish in that lake, you know." But somehow at the words of Jesus, somehow the words that he was listening in that sermon that Jesus was preaching, they stirred him. And so he went out and just put down the net. And there was such an abundance of fish in the net. He was so overwhelmed by this. "Oh no! This is out of my realm." Virtually, he came into Jesus and you know, he fell down at his feet, and he just, "No, I'm a sinner. I can't. No, Lord, it's too good for me." If you've ever been in the state, maybe you're sitting there right now. Christianity, no. I don't really know you. You know, the preacher up there really doesn't know how bad you are, and this is too good for you. Well, the preacher up there is just like you, and he's discovered this incredible Jesus. And Jesus just says to him, "No, Simon, I'm going to teach you to be a fisher of men. I'm going to teach you to catch other people in the net of my kingdom so they can go to heaven." And so he followed Jesus, you know, and he did great things. He preached, he healed the sick, he cast out demons, he even walked on water. And then when it came to his friend who had equipped him and enabled him to do all of this, being arrested, and Jesus telling him he's going to be arrested, Simon said, I'll even go to death with you, Lord. Simon Satan has demanded to have you, to sift you like wheat. He's going to show you just how incapable of doing anything you are without me. See, while he'd been with Jesus, while he'd walked with Jesus, while he'd listened to Jesus, he was equipped to do all of this. But somehow he thought maybe it was his ability. But Jesus said, no, Simon, Satan is going to sift you until you realize without me you can do nothing at all. But when you turn again. Now, you know, I looked at this verse in Luke 22. I was sitting in the office on Friday with Lydia in the evening. I looked at this verse and Jesus said, when you turn again. I thought, what does that turn again mean? And then I looked up the Greek word, and it's a Greek word in the aorist tense. Now, I'm not a grammatical expert, but I did learn at college sometimes you really do need to know the grammar, because the grammar will teach you something essential about what you are reading here. The aorist tense, you probably don't know that tense very well. You might know the present tense now and the future tense in the future and the past tense, but the aorist tense is such an important tense in the Greek language because it describes an action that is at a moment in time that is going to change everything for the future. So something that takes place that has an ongoing effect. And Jesus says to Simon, when you turn again, strengthen your brothers. There's going to be something that's going to happen to Simon that is going to transform him and change him forever. He doesn't know yet what it is. Well, of course, Jesus was eventually arrested. We looked at these slides with the children on Good Friday. We'll just run through them quickly. Then, of course, Peter denied him three times. Then the rooster crowed. Then Jesus looked at Simon. I still wonder how he looked at him. I still wonder about the gaze when Jesus looked at Simon. You know, I tried to find a picture that would sort of illustrate the right gaze. I don't think I ever found it. Because somehow the love of Jesus Christ is so powerful. When you fail hopelessly, he never condemns you. Just remember this. When you fail absolutely hopelessly, when you muck up terribly, Jesus never condemns you. The devil accuses you, but Jesus never condemns you. He will point it out to you because he wants to set you free from that chain that is holding you captive. And you'll see that in this story today. He will point out to Simon where he's fallen down, but only with incredible love to show him that if he relies on himself, he will fall down again. Jesus looked at him, and of course, then they took Jesus away and they crucified him. Now, I wonder whether you've ever thought, where was Simon Peter when Jesus was crucified? Where was Simon Peter when Jesus was crucified? There is no record of Peter being at the cross. There's no record of Peter witnessing the cruel suffering of his Saviour. Why was this? What happens when you fail? What happens when you feel utterly hopeless about yourself? You run away. You just want to hide. That's what happens to all of us when we are utterly hopeless and feel completely, that's it. I'm done. I can't do this. You run and hide. Now, it's interesting because, you know, sadly, in our unworthiness, our sense of failure can rob us of such deep experiences. I know myself, when I've felt so bad, I've missed out on meetings. I failed to go to gatherings where God spoke, where He revealed Himself. Who was at the cross when Jesus died? Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Mary Magdalene was there. And one disciple was there. What was his name? John. And John had learned a very deep lesson that Peter was learning. John had learned he could do nothing without Jesus. At the Last Supper, it was John who was lying, he records in his own scripture, on the breast of Jesus. So Daniel, he was sitting next to Jesus and he was like this. How does that feel? It feels great, doesn't it? It feels great. It feels close. It feels so intimate. John was just lying there on the breast of Jesus. He'd surrendered himself completely. And he is the only one who heard exactly who was going to betray Jesus. Simon Peter still had in him a sense of self-confidence. This can affect all of us in many different ways. Still a sense of self-confidence. And if God is to truly use us, we have sound effects just to keep us alert. If God is to truly use us, He has to remove all self-confidence. And He's doing it for Simon. Well, John was lying there on the breast of Jesus. He heard who was going to betray Jesus. He was standing there at the foot of the cross when Jesus looked down and saw John and Mary and the two Marys. And he entrusted his mother to John. The friendship between John and Jesus was just amazing, wasn't it? It was John who wrote those words down, didn't he, in John 15. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John's Gospel, chapter 15. He knew you can do nothing unless you are completely surrendered to Jesus. And of course, John experienced Jesus dying. He heard his words, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." He heard all the things that the thief said. What kind of an experience of God was that? You know, Simon Peter missed the Roman centurion when Jesus died and there was an earthquake and the sky began. "This man is the Son of God." Wow. What an experience. Simon was not there. He was not there because of his sense of unworthiness, his sense of failure. And so, what do we read when the days pass? Peter and John run to the tomb, we know, and Mary ran to the tomb as well, and Peter went in and they came back telling the disciples, the women are right, they've stolen the body. Simon Peter is in a state of total despondency. He's in the darkness. We can be there too. We can be there because of our failure, because of our sense of hopelessness. We can be living in a state where we can't see the truth. But isn't it wonderful that the one who loves us knows exactly what we're experiencing, knows exactly what's going on in our lives, knows exactly the prescription, the remedy to set us free. And that aorist verb, when you turn again, remember Jesus said, "I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you turn again, strengthen your brothers." That aorist moment is going to take place. Even though Simon is in total despair. And we read what kind of a despair he was in. It says here, after this Jesus revealed himself. So he's revealing himself. But Simon has not yet encountered him because Simon says to them, "I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what I used to do." For 3 years, Simon has not fished other than for a coin. For 3 years, you know, it's extraordinary, Simon. He's there catching fish. In his trade, a man appears, preaches a sermon. Simon responds to him in obedience. In one moment of compulsion, he puts down his nets. It's full of fish. And for 3 years, he never fishes again. He leaves everything. That's fairly compulsive, isn't it? Just think of that. Just for a moment. Think of that. You meet someone. They do something amazing in your life, and from that moment you abandon everything of the past for 3 years and walk around with him and experience the things of the kingdom of heaven. And then you completely fail him and he's crucified and dead, and you say, "I'm going back fishing." Well, he hasn't fished for 3 years. Wonder how his fishing's going to go. Remember what sort of a condition Simon is in here. Just think of him. Put yourself in his shoes. He'd given up everything for Jesus. And then he's crucified and killed. What have I done with my life? He's in despair over his failure and his hopeless sense of rejecting his friend, abandoning him in his crucial moment. The other disciples seem to be in a similar state. They say, "We will go with you. We don't know what to do. We're going back fishing." They went out, got into the boat, and that night they caught What do they catch? A boot. Just put yourself in their shoes for a moment. They are defeated. They are despondent. They are in a state of just low state. They go out fishing all night and they can't catch anything. What are they feeling like now? Have you reached that low estate? Yeah? This low estate, this graveyard of despondency, this graveyard of hopelessness, of failure, of inability to function, is about to become the graveyard of the resurrection. And God uses in our lives such situations to do extraordinary things. But he has to prepare you first. So when you're being taken on this road, down that pathway, where God shows you just how hopeless you are, just remember this story I'm preaching to you today. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly how low you are. You see, Simon has to teach others how to become a follower of Jesus. He has to learn what it is to be a follower of Jesus first, doesn't he? He has to know for himself, apart from Jesus, he can do nothing at all. And yet, what a Savior does he have. As Simon is in the boat, fishing through the night, it's dark, the nets are going down and up, and nothing's in them. Could you imagine him praying like David? My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. That's Psalm 55, verses 4 and 5. That's the experience of David. David, the great man of God, the great one who is regarded as the forerunner of Jesus. Jesus was the son of David. David had to learn too that apart from God he could do nothing. Now, here they are at rock bottom in the depths of despair with the horrors of death virtually encompassing them. Like James O'Fraser when he went on his missionary call to the Lisu in southern China. He'd been there 5 years and everything seemed absolutely to be a failure. And all he wanted to do was end it. In fact, he had thoughts of suicide as a missionary. But this was the crucible. This was the very foundation of what God was going to do with James O'Fraser in China. If you read his story and the thousands of Lisu people who come to Jesus, you'll understand the crucible preparation is needed for every one of us. And it was needed for Simon, you see. Right at the depths of his dark moment. Just as day was breaking, says John. Now, why didn't Jesus come in the night? I mean, he could have come in the night. Remember, he came in the night before when Simon and the fishermen were out on the lake and they were in the boat and Jesus was up on the mountain praying and he saw them in their trouble in the fourth watch of the night. He came to them in the night, walking on the water. Why didn't he do that for them? No, he let them go through the night. He let them go through absolutely no success, the darkness, the emptiness. He waited until the break of morn. God comes, as I said at the start of the service, Jesus is never late. He just doesn't come when we expect him. He waited until the day was just breaking, standing on the shoreline, out of easy reach and seemingly acting like a stranger. Jesus calls out to these men. Friends, you need to listen very carefully to the words of Jesus. He says this, little children, these are grown men. These are hardened fishermen. Jesus chooses his words very carefully here. Are you at a point, maybe you're 50, 60, maybe you're 40, maybe you're 30, maybe whatever age you're at, are you willing to be addressed as a little child? That you virtually know nothing. Are you willing to receive that greeting, little child? If you are, you're going to experience miracles, friends. The only thing that will stop you experiencing the miraculous activity of God is your pride. Your pride will resist experiencing the extraordinary, miraculous activity of God. And that's why Jesus chooses these words very carefully. Little children, have you caught anything? They could have said, who is that guy addressing us in such a way? But you see, these men, they're at a low state. They're a very low, weakened condition. And they receive this greeting of Jesus. No, they say. He says to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Who's this man? Immediately, John says, they cast the net in, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Now, exactly the same thing happens for Simon Peter when he first met Jesus, right? Jesus doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you do whatever he says, you will experience the miraculous. It's as simple as that. He responds to their sense of despair with this simple instruction. Just like at the beginning when Peter first met Jesus, isn't this not the perfect way to restore Simon Peter, to take him back to his beginnings? I could say to my dear sister Susan today, maybe Susan you can come so these people on the thing can see me. Susan, let me take you back to your beginnings. That moment in the room when you saw your need of Jesus and you gave your life to him. How did you feel then, Susan? Did you feel his love for you? Did you feel his compassion, his amazing grace? I'll take you back to the first time you met Jesus, Susan. You need to be taken back to the first time you met Jesus. You need to go back to that moment. And this is what Jesus is doing for Simon Peter. He's taking him back to his first encounter with Jesus. Simon has failed Jesus hopelessly, but Jesus has not failed Simon at all and will never fail him. And he'll never fail you. If he called you to be his friend, he's your friend. You may be unfriendly to him at times, but he will never be unfriendly to you. And he knows exactly your need. And he knows exactly the moment when he will come to you to repair what has been damaged, to fix the problem in your life. And he chose this moment for Simon Peter. Simon is in the boat, overwhelmed by these fish that are filling the net. His mind is in a turmoil. He hasn't even recognized that it's Jesus yet. You could hardly believe this is possible. But his friend John says to him, "Peter, it's the Lord." "No, it can't be the Lord. I failed him too badly. I've mucked up too much. It can't possibly be the Lord." This is Simon. He's in such a state of hopelessness and despair. And then he realizes it is him. Now what does he do? He jumps into the sea. He swims to the shoreline. "How can he love me like this? Who is this Jesus Christ?" When Simon heard it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, he stripped of his